Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
And for today, that's Morning Edition here on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce. Thanks for listening. Dave Dickey joins us now with our opening commodity market report.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading this Friday morning. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, March wheat opened at 5.78, up 3 on the open. May, 5.87, up 2 and a quarter. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 5.42, up 3 and a quarter on the open. May, 5.53, up 1 and a half. March corn opened at 3.65 and a half, down 3 quarters on the open. May, 3.75 and a half, down a half. July, 3.85, down a half. December, 4.07, down 3 quarters. December of 2010, 4.26 and a quarter, up a half on the open. March beans opened at 9.75, up 6.5 on the open. May, 9.76, up 4.5. July, 9.76, unchanged. November, 9.05, up 3.5. January, 9.11, up 1.75 on the open. March soybean meal opened at 3.05.50, up 80 on the open. May, 3.01, down 60. March soybean oil opened at 32.95, up 12 on the open. May, 33.15, unchanged. February live cattle opened at 84.35, unchanged on the open. May, March feeders open at 95.40, up 25. February lean hogs open at 58.90, up 7.5 on the open. And March bellies open at 77.80, down 20 on the open. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Before we get into specifics, what do you think of the overall tone of how the market opened this morning?
A little bit better than expected. I think there were some ideas that we'd go down and test some further lows in these markets, but the crude oil has perked up, Dave, a couple dollars. The Dow is up a little bit, so a little better performance than I guess we thought we'd start today with.
How important is it in your mindset from fundamentally and technically for these markets to make a stand in here and not lose any more value into the balance of February?
Well, we've got some lines here in the sand that we've kind of drawn, and we think it's very important, Dave. And again, we couple that back with the outside markets and the economy, and I think we're seeing some good reactions there. But we really need to hold the line here because the good news, I guess, from South America having problems is kind of getting to be old news. The report the other day was some good news. Again, they didn't increase carryout. So, you know, we've had some good news, but we can't let it technically break through the downside. So good to see the market hold together today, especially got a three-day weekend coming up. So that's good to see that happen.
We've been talking a long time about, oh, if we only could see some demand. Well, we've seen demand in the corn pit in the last 4 weeks to the tune of around 180 million bushels, including that very impressive, probably a year high, more than a year high, this past week of over 60, although there was some discussion about how we got there, but I guess we're agreeing it is over 60. But the corn hasn't really rallied off of that much off of that, so does that suggest to you that the risk really is to the downside?
Well, I think it's concerning. I think what all the markets tend to do with the economic conditions is it's like that was really great news, but you got to prove it every week to them. It's one of those things that we need to see next week be good, and eventually it has an impact. But another thing to recognize, we're pretty far behind in that export pace, so we really, really need these really good numbers to keep our head above water. So we keep coming back to find things that give the market ability to hold up. But, again, we constantly need the good news to make that happen.
Was there anything in yesterday's release from the Office of the Chief Economist that your company, Risk Management, wanted to chew on?
Yeah, it was a little bit interesting. We at our meetings have been promoting Mike's numbers at 88 million corn acres, which the folks in Chicago and a lot of the traders expected significantly lower corn acres and a lot more bean acres. And so Mike was kind of anticipating that at that point in time, that data that would come out wasn't going to show that big corn acre switch. I think the real numbers we'll see at the end of the month from the USDA conference, will they follow that same line of thinking or will they switch to more bean acres?
We're about almost halfway through the month of February, and of course this is crop insurance month, halfway through almost. The price on corn at 413 and almost a half, 413.44, and the bean price at 918.94. What's that telling you?
To us, it's still saying go with the beans and the enterprise units. There's a big discount to being taking an enterprise unit for the CRC or RA policies. So to us, it kind of leads to be a bean planter and take the crop insurance, gives you more benefits over there to protect the income side. So we think the bean number is a better number than the corn number right now.
So should we be, if that be the case, should we have some significant part of our new crop beans hedged?
Yeah, we really feel if you go back in history, Dave, and you look the $9 bean level and the $10 bean level certainly are numbers we don't very often see. We think those are good prices to lock in some profit, and our philosophy of risk management next year is purely be on the defensive side. The upside will take care of itself on our farm operations, but if the corn and beans are affected negatively by the economy not bottoming out yet, then we certainly could see levels again on 09 crops that would not make us profitable. So we're willing to take those $9 plus cash beans, get those sold in combination with the crop insurance plan, and kind of go forward from there and see if things can get better.
One of the things that we have been noting lately is that with the new money, the TARF or TAF or whatever the heck we're calling it today up on the Hill, there seems to be going to be a lot more regulation with it. And I'm wondering if that will have some impact on grains and that maybe those new dollars won't be as successful because people just won't want to take them.
Yeah, and farmers borrow a lot of money, and the money in this economy is certainly a question mark out there. And, again, it comes back around to the what-ifs are what's affecting us in the economy, it's affecting us in the ag markets. And it just brings us back around to we can see some prices here where you can, make some money. So we'd rather play defense and take that rather than be on the offense and wait and hope things shake out to be a positive for everybody.
What do you make of gold pushing higher?
I think a lot of the money, there's investment money out there. There's still money out there, Dave, but interesting to note, some people we talk to and investors, gold seems to be the safe haven, and it's something they can go to that's tangible, and they're going to the sidelines through gold to wait to see how this thing shakes out.
So they're not even buying futures. They're buying the actual physical commodity, are they not?
Buying actual gold and silver. Taking the real thing, and I think you could kind of maybe compare that back to why the land markets held up pretty well in the face of the declining corn and bean prices. You can walk on that land, you can touch that land, and it's similar to gold. It's something that people in these kind of situations look at as something that's real and tangible that they can really grab a hold of.
So are you thinking that land values for farm will not depreciate that much on the balance of this year?
The auctions we've heard about in Indiana and even in Illinois, the land values seem to be holding up very well. No big collapse over there. I think the other thing that people who are buying land are looking at, they can still lock in some long-term favorable interest rates, Dave. The last time we got in trouble with the land market was much higher interest rates really impacted the people that bought the land. So I think the combination of a safe haven and being able to get a very reasonable interest rate is making land an attractive investment for people that have money.
Thank you much, Chuck.
Thank you, Dave.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Let's look at the current tick. March wheat in Kansas City at 578.75, up 3.75. At the Board of Trade, March wheat at 542.75, up four. July, 567, up 3.25. March corn, 366.5, up a quarter. May, 376.25, up a quarter. July, 386.5, up 1. December, 408.25, up a half. March crude, 36.03, is up $2.05. The March RBOB at 121.9 is down 3.9. March beans, 971, now 971.25. Up, well, it's fluctuating very quickly back and forth. 971 up 2.5. May, 972.75, up 1.25. July, 976.75, up 3/4. November, 905.5, up 5. March soybean meal, 304.50, down 20 cents. The May contract at 301.50, down 10 cents. March soybean oil at 33.03, up 20. May, 33.37, up 22. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.